Okay, so we're going to continue now talking about this beautiful subject of humility. And I had another opportunity, a very strong opportunity this week to exercise humility. I might bring it up at some point in this message, but I am really thankful for spending time with my personal time and study on this subject. I'm loving it. I just love what it's doing on the inside of me. It's something that it seems to me now, as I've been studying this more, that it's absolutely crazy in my mind to think that it's as almost unspoken of. I mean, it's just we rarely hear. I mean, we'll hear the word humility in a message, it'll be thrown out, but not a full-on teaching on humility. When I realize now the value of it in the eyes of God, it is huge in the eyes of God. And yet, I don't know. I think, I mean, when I read things by St. Augustine and Andrew Murray, as well as, what's that, Floyd Jones. I think it's David Floyd Jones. Lloyd, huh? No. Anyhow, another theologian, he's written a lot of really awesome books and everything. Anyhow, they all say the same thing, is that we really had just not done a good job with this, something that is so big in the eyes of God, and we spend so little time on it. In fact, rare is it that you find a Christian who's actually pursuing humility like we should be, you know. So I'm just encouraged that God has put it on us to study this, and that we're doing that, and I just like what it's doing in my life. So let me just go ahead and jump right in there. Last week, I spoke mostly about pride. This week, I'm going to speak mostly about humility. But as I mentioned last week, that I will always be using both, because the contrasting of the two helps draw out and further clarify some meanings of the other. It's good to contrast them. You can see it brings out points. So, of course, I'll be talking about both, but I mostly spoke about pride last week. I'm going to mostly speak about humility. That said, let me start with a word about pride, and then I'll go into the humility part of it. I want to talk about one particular point that we have learned concerning pride, and therefore, how should we think about it? Now, I'm going to start off strong. So, how many of you are awake right now? All right, half of you, that's good. All right, so here we go. This is something we've learned about pride. The Lord resists the proud. James 4:6, 1 Peter 5:5 make those exact statements, but that very concept is throughout the word. We've seen many scriptures that say it, but these two particular scriptures, James 4:6 and 1 Peter 5:5, actually say those exact words. The Lord resists the proud. Need we say anything else about it? God resists. Antitassomai, the Greek word to resist, is to resist, to stand against, to actively oppose. God actually takes a proactive position against anyone who steps into pride. Anyone, that includes you and me. God takes a proactive position against pride. May we never forget that. I think that should be motivation enough for all of us to have nothing to do with it ever again. It says that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Now, you may be thinking, you know what? I've kind of been operating in a lot of pride my whole life, you know, in and out. I mean, I've had lots of prideful moments, which I think would probably be the case with every one of us. And you may say to yourself, you know, I mean, I hear what you're saying, but I don't know that I've really noticed God taking a proactive opposition to me. I don't know that I've noticed the grace of God not being in my life or a lack thereof, because it says God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. So you may be thinking, I don't really know that I recognize that in my life. I would say two things to it. Number one, do you believe the Word of God? And number two, how can you possibly know what you do not know? You do not know what you don't know. So I would submit this to you. Because the Word of God is in fact true, the Word of God states emphatically that God resists the proud. And we know that the Word of God is true. But that He gives grace to the humble, and therefore, according to the Word of God, I would submit to you that every single time that we step into pride, we just lost an opportunity for grace. Every single time we step into pride, we just lost an opportunity for grace. So you say, well, I haven't recognized the lack of grace in my life. And what I'm saying to you is, how do you know what you don't know? You can't. You don't know what you don't know. You don't know what it is that you just missed out on because it never came. I will use that example that I mentioned. Do y'all remember what you celebrated for me in your kindness last week? My birthday was on Sunday. Hey! Y'all were kind enough to celebrate my birthday. What's that? Derek's birthday too, by the way. Praise the Lord. Hey, that's right. All together now. Happy birthday to you. Hey, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Derek. Happy birthday to you. Woo-hoo! Oh, that's great. We got to cover that one. So, last week you all celebrated my birthday. So, do you know what happened on Monday? That was on Sunday. You know what happened on Monday? My tags and my driver's license expired. Guess what else happened on Monday? Yes, your pastor got pulled over by the police. It's confession time. I do have an issue I struggle a little bit with: speeding. I like to drive fast. In fact, it was one of the very first things the Lord spoke to me when I first got saved 30 plus years ago. I was coming out of my church after worshiping the Lord, who I professed my love to, got into my car. You'll know this is a long time ago by this. I don't know. I guess these are still going. And I reached into my console and I pulled out my what's those things called, the speed detectors? Huh? Radar detector. There it is. I got my radar detector, and I had a little position on the dashboard, a little Velcro, and it just stuck it right up there. It was one of those things points right out, you know? That thing was awesome, man. Saved me many a ticket. I pulled that thing out, and I put it up there, and I heard the voice of the Lord so clearly, and He said, what are you doing? Right there, right where I was, right about this position. What are you doing? Huh? Nothing. And I realized, yeah, it's interesting. What am I doing? I'm preparing to be able to break the law. That's what I do right now. Yeah. Come on, Lord, y'all with that. You got the chariot to the speed of light. That's not fair, man. I'm limited down here. So anyhow, it was a personal conviction. Not trying to lay anything on you, but the Lord spoke to me because I really was, and I still am, trying to harness the speed freak in me. I love speed. I used to have a motorcycle. I had to get rid of it. After about 10 years, I thought, I've matured now. I can buy a motorcycle. And I was going to go out and buy a real nice motorcycle, you know, like a 900 or 1,000. Something's got some power to it. And I had an idea. You know, just maybe I haven't matured as much as I think I have. So I called up a friend of mine who had a 750 Kawasaki. I said, hey, David, What would you think about me borrowing your motorcycle for a weekend? I kind of have to decide if I really want to buy one or not. He said, yeah, no problem. So I drove to his house, got on a 750 Cal. He's on one end of San Diego. I live on the other end. Got onto the freeway, and it was like someone else took over. It wasn't me. And I had that thing full throttle. I was flying by cars like they were in park. I was literally, I was doing about 140, I'm not exaggerating, on the freeway, flying to my house. It was like, it's a drug to me. Just flying. It was like, oh, it was awesome. And I'm the whole time I'm going, you've lost it. And I go, I know, but this is so fun. This is great. I just kept going all the way home. I got home. I'm home like 8 minutes later. It's about a 25-minute drive. 8 minutes later, I called David. Hey, David, I'll be bringing the bike back soon. And I will not be buying one. Apparently, I have not matured at all. So, anyhow, on Monday, that's why I also bought big cars. I've always owned big cars until I bought this Lexus, but I have always owned bigger cars for that reason. I'm out of control. So I have to buy something that doesn't motivate me to speed. So on Monday, I was having breakfast at First Watch with our brother Peter and Brian. And I pulled out of there onto Tremont Road. And I just kind of took off like I do. And as I went by the next exit of the parking lot, there was a cop sitting there, and I just blew right by him, came up to the light. He pulled in right behind me, which gets you thinking, am I cool? Is everything all right? You know, I wasn't even thinking I was speeding. I was just kind of thinking through things. I'm like, oh, my tags. They expired yesterday. I've got them. They're at home, but I haven't put them on. And I was like, oh, no. I hope he doesn't look at my tags. Don't look at my tags. Don't look at my tags. I make my turn. We drive a little while. Woo! Oh, man, pulls me over. So I pulled into the parking lot of the school that was right there because, you know, this road is real tight, and I hate it when cops pull people over on the road and mess up traffic and everything. And plus, it's dangerous for them. So I'm being a nice guy, and I pulled into the school parking lot. I get out my registration, my driver's license and everything, and he takes his time. Then he finally comes up and rolls down the window, and I spoke first, and I said, hey, I hope you don't mind my pulling into the parking. I just want to get you out of the road for your safety's sake and also just for traffic. I didn't even finish. I just said, I hope you don't mind I pulled into the parking. I was just trying to, you know, get you out of the road. Yes, I do mind. It is not your decision where to stop. I tell you where to stop. I'm not exaggerating. This is how he came off. I mean, I just thought I did a nice thing, and then I thought I'd start off by mentioning the nice thing that I did. Maybe this will help me out a little bit. So too, I was just trying to be really nice. It matters. I tell you where to stop. I will decide what is dangerous for me and what is not. I've been doing this for 27 years. I mean, like this. He was just like coming at me. And I was like, whoa. I mean, I'd say that. I'm just looking at him. And he went on for a couple minutes, just let me have it. And I was like, all right. The thought hit me. Now understand something. I struggle in some areas. One is speeding, I just mentioned. Another one happens to be with cops. Because in my BC days, I was less than controlled, and I got into a lot of trouble, and I was constantly dealing with them. And so, you know, they weren't gentle with me. And so I developed this attitude because I feel like many of them were extremely oppressive in their conduct with me. I don't think the way they treated me was worthy of, you know, the punishment didn't fit the crime kind of thing. You know what I mean? So anyhow, I'm not saying that I'm correct in my assessment. I'm quite certain that I'm not. But that's how I felt. So I've kind of developed an attitude towards them. I've worked on it for years. I know I need to work on it. I've come a long way. But in this particular, so I'm just saying, this is a real sensitive spot for me. And he was pushing my button. Because I literally, now I'm feeling like I really am quite innocent, other than the fact that my tag's probably expired. And I was trying to do a nice thing, and he's just laying into me. And the thought hit me immediately. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And I said to myself right there, okay, do you want your father resisting you, Brad, or do you want his grace? Literally, I say that to myself as he's going, I'm here, wah, 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 and I'm going, what do you want, Brad? Do you want your father to resist you right now, or do you want his grace? And it didn't take but 2 or 3 seconds. I just said, that's a no-brainer, and I just chilled. What was starting to rise just went right down, I mean, just like quick, it just like flush, and I was like, oh, I'm good. He can do whatever he wants. He can say whatever he wants. I'm just right there. I'm like, all right, yeah, no, I understand. All right, okay. Yeah, I'm good. And I didn't just shut my mouth. You can shut your mouth and still be completely full of pride. God is dealing with the hidden man of the heart, right? He cares about the inward man. Am I actually in pride or not? And so I had to ask myself, are you going to be in pride? And I said no to pride, and it just flushed out of me. It was gone. I was literally totally good. I had compassion for the man. I'm thinking now, wow, this guy is fired up, man. He's probably had some serious things go wrong in his past or whatever, you know, and he's not going to let me off because he's not going to put up with any more of these, you know, whatever, punks that doing their own thing. I'm the cop. So anyhow, I just totally chilled out. And he said, now, the reason I pulled you over is because when you came out of that parking lot, you were going rather quick or rather fast. And I don't have a radar gun with me, so I'm not going to be giving you a ticket. But I pulled your license. I pulled your license when I was following you. And he said, and apparently you had a birthday yesterday because your driver's license has expired today. And I looked down at my driver's license, 2015. I'm like, oh, I didn't even know that. I only thought about the tags. I didn't think about my driver's license. I'm like, oh, man, he's going to get me for my driver's license and my tags. This is not good. And then he said, the ticket for an expired driver's license is $95. Oh, no, before he said all that, he was coming at me, and I'm just sitting there looking at him, and then at one point I just kind of looked away because it was getting kind of odd to keep looking at him. He was going off for a while. So I just looked down, I'm looking at my driver's license and stuff, and then he said, and then I said, okay, no, I get it. I understand. And then he goes, well, no, I understand you were trying to look out for my safety. I understand that, but I decide. I said, all right, I'm good. So he kind of calmed down right there, just with that statement. And then he went into, now, you know, the reason I pulled you over is because your driver's license, that would be 95. I'm not going to give you that. You were speeding, but I don't have a gun, so I'm not going to give you a ticket for that. All right, so you can go. Just like that. I said, all right, thank you very much. He went away, and I was like, don't look at my tags. Drove away. Whew. Another quick example, and I think I took too long on that one. I'll try and do this next one a little quicker. I was renting this court for a bunch of guys to come play some basketball, and this particular time I showed up very early. Yes, it does happen. I showed up really early. I was there like 20 minutes early. I was already dressed, had the basketball ready to go, and the court was empty. Usually there's other people playing on the court, and you wait until they're done, and then they get off at an exact time. It's, you know, every 2 hours. So at 2 o'clock, I had the court. I was there like at 1:40, and there was no one on the court. And I'm like, hey, cool. I get some hoop time, get some practice time in before the guys show up. Lord knows I need it. And so I was going to do some. Well, the hoops were up. You know, they pull them up to the ceiling. And I was like, oh, bummer. So I went to the guy that's managing the place, and I said, hey, man, I rented that court over there. And he looked it up. He goes, yeah, you did. I said, I was hoping I could do some little practicing, do some, you know, shooting. Can you drop the hoops down? He goes, no, your time isn't up. I will drop them on your time. He said, that court is rented for 2 o'clock. That's when the hoops come down. They don't come down before then. And I thought to myself at that time, now back then I was teaching on submission and authority. And I thought about that instantly, and I thought, you know what, this man is the one who's in authority here. I need to be submitted to that. And I said, okay, yes, sir. Literally, as nice as I could say it, and I meant it. It wasn't saying words, but not in my heart. It was in my heart, and I said, yes, sir, I understand. And I walked away, went over there, and I just sat there. And I just thought, well, I'll just think about the word, whatever. I'll just have a good old time here by myself for 20 minutes. Till the guys show up, you know. So I just sat there, wasn't thinking anything about that situation. 5 minutes later, approximately, this guy comes walking up to me, and he said, "Hey, young man," and he was, you know, considerably older than me, so he could call me young man. He said, "Hey, young man, I want to tell you something. I've had that discussion with so many people. I've been working here for a long time. And every time this discussion comes up, everyone wants to argue with me for me to put the hoops down." He said, "You're the only person who's never done that." He said, "You were so polite, and I just want to tell you I appreciate that. And for that, I'm bringing the hoops down." And he just went up there, dee, brought it all down. I'm like, "Go ahead, you go bring that down. That's nice, man. I appreciate that." I just got there, shot about 20 in a row, didn't miss any of them. No one was watching. But this is what I'm saying. I believe that we would see the goodness, the hand and the goodness of God in our lives more frequently on a daily basis if we would make the decision. Now, that was just two that I did right. I could give you a whole litany of ones that I did wrong. But I wanted to just kind of talk about those. I see, you may say, "Well, I don't know that that was the grace of God." Well, according to James chapter 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation nor shadow of turning, meaning he never changes. And this is how it's going to be. Every good gift, that word is dosis, and it actually means giving more than gift. It's every good giving and every perfect, which means complete domea, which is gift, bestowment. So it's, to me, there's a difference there. It's almost like he's saying everything that is given that is good, and every actual bestowment, it may be an actual gift, they come from God. I believe these are very small examples I'm giving you. There's big examples we all step into as well, like relationship stuff, where marriages could be blessed and mended by the hand of God or destroyed by our pride, and it's our choice. I believe that that is just two opportunities. That ticket situation, that was a $400 savings to me. You think, "Well, how could it be $400? Tickets aren't $400. He already told me the ticket was $95. And how many of you know, if you get one more, if you get a mark on your insurance, that raises your insurance approximately $100 for 3 years. That's $400 that was saved right there. And the other one, I got to shoot hoops for 20 minutes before the other guys showed up. As a result, I was smoking by the time they got there and smoked everybody. No. But it's just, it's the grace of God flowing in our life when we walk in humility. But if I hadn't walked into humility and then I got that ticket and that's $400 and then, you know, and I mouthed off to that guy and he's whatever, I'm boss around here and I'm not putting the hoops down, you know, I wouldn't have gotten the hoops. I would have had a $400 ticket. And then I'd be sitting here in church going, I don't really see where the hand of God is against me. I don't see God's grace not flowing in my life, but it's because I wouldn't know what I don't know. The grace of God is readily available. He wants to flow in all of our lives, but because we walk in the pride that we walk in, we're not seeing it. I would suggest we ask ourselves this question: do we have all that we desire of the Lord? Are we wanting in anything? Are we lacking in anything? According to the scriptures, we should not be lacking in anything. So if we are lacking in anything, I would submit that maybe there's a lack of grace flowing in our life. This is all kind of adding up for me. Is it adding up for you? 2 plus 2? I think if we all, I'm trying to be nice, forget being nice. I know if we all would make the decision to throw off that which God hates out of our life, and that is pride, and embrace that which brings the very gaze of God. Oh, I love that. Would you put that up for us, Louis? Isaiah 66:2. That which draws the very gaze of God, we would see greater blessings in our life on a daily basis. Humility literally draws the grace and the gaze of God. Isaiah 66:2 says this. Isaiah 66:2 says this. "But on this one will I look." Listen. God is going to identify who he's looking upon. On this one will I look. He who is poor and of a contrite spirit. On this one will I look. One, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. This is the person that understands what God says is true. It's a fact. It's going to happen. What he says is it. God's word is the final authority in their life. And they have said, God, you're God and I am not. I will follow you. Apart from you, I am nothing. But with you, I can do all things. God says, that's the person I will move on. Listen, it says, on this one, I will look. The Hebrew word there is nabat. Listen to this, the understanding of this word, this Hebrew word nabat. To scan, to look intently, to regard with pleasure, favor, and care. Listen to this. To have respect for. On this one, God says, will I look intently, scan, have regard with pleasure, favor, care. On this one, will I have respect. Wow. To have that from God, it literally draws. This is all about humility. He says, this is the one I will look on with that. It's the one who's of poor and a contrite spirit. That's a description of humility. The humble heart draws the very gaze of God. I'm sitting there with this man yelling at me in such a way that really isn't good. I mean, if truth be told, I think he was completely out of line in the way that he was treating me. He's acting like I'm a criminal because my driver's license expired, you know. Or whatever. I'm not trying to make excuses. I'm just saying, it's just my opinion. That was crazy out of hand behavior. It wasn't absolutely not necessary. And yet, the father is looking at me, son, how are you going to handle this? Lord, I will not touch pride in this situation. I will not have self on my mind. What I'm going to do, Father, is I'm going to care more about you and your ways and showing Christ to this man. And the father says, that I respect and that I will bless. Now, since I've talked about a couple good, I thought I better throw another one in there. I'll just tell you real quick, about 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I don't know, no, it was more than that, about 5 years ago, I was sicker than a dog. Long story short, about 2 a.m, I was so sick, I had to go get something. I did a little research, found about this thing that might help me, got in a car, drove, got pulled over by a cop, going to CVS at 2 a.m. to get something because I was sicker than a dog. And I was ticked because the speed limit was 40 and I was going 42. I'm not kidding you. You think no one will pull you over going 42. I was going 42. I know because I went right past him as he was going 40. I went 42 because I'm like, you're crawling, man, and I'm dying here. I'm going to go 42. I know you're not giving me a ticket for 42. He pulled me over, and I got fired up. I just kept on driving. I made him follow me for about 3 miles until I got to CVS. Pulled into the CVS parking lot. Oh, yeah, I had serious attitude. I pulled in the CVS parking lot. He got out of his car. He walked up, and I said, what's the problem? Like that, ticked off. He said, I wanted to see your driver's license. I said, no, I asked you a question. What's the problem? And he said, the problem is you were speeding. I said, no, what's the real problem? He looked at me like, what is your problem? And I said, the problem is I passed you. And he said, you're right. You passed me. I'm an officer of the law. What are you doing passing me? Man, I was so fired up. And he full on admitted that. That's what it was. I passed him. He's like, you stay behind me. And I was ticked. Let me just tell you, God was nowhere to be found. He's like, see ya. That was ugly. That was flesh. That was pure pride. It's garbage. Just thought I better throw one of those in there, you know? Just want you to know. I've got problems sometimes when it comes to, now I've got some prejudices. I just want you to know. I've developed some, they're well-developed prejudices I've had over the years, you know. One of them is towards them. I've come a long way. I used to actually hold a Bible study with nothing but cops in my Bible study. And they helped me out to develop a love for the police. But they themselves told me, yeah, we've got some serious problems in the police force. We've got some. It attracts people who want the power. And it's not good. But there's a bunch of them that are just beautiful people. They're there, actually. They become police because the police department, they were telling me, tracks two kinds of people. The people who want the power and the people who want to help. And so, you know, you run into both. So anyhow, humility. What is it? What are its benefits? There are so many things that humility is. I'm just going to name a few. I'm going a little bit over, but y'all got me up here a little bit late, so take that. Humility. It is many things. I'm just going to name a few. What is humility? The reason I'm saying all this, we need to understand humility and the beauty of it. Why? Because if you value it, if I value it, only then will I pursue it. How many of you know you don't pursue anything you don't value? We have to value it. We need to understand it in order to value it. It is, first, one thing that it is a fruit of the Spirit. That alone should add tremendous value. It is a fruit of the Spirit. Most translations will translate this one particular word, meekness or gentleness, but if you look at the word, it is absolutely those, but it is also absolutely humility. But even if you didn't really espouse that to include humility, which it does, the very first thing fruit of the Spirit is, it says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, starts right off with love. Well, humility is the greatest virtue of love. It's the very vehicle in which love travels. Agape love, there is no such thing as agape love apart from humility, any more than there is water without the wet. You can't take the wet off of water any more than you can take the humility off of agape love. It flows with humility always. So it is a fruit of the Spirit, no matter which way you look at it. Humility is a lightning rod to attract the grace of God. When we're in a situation where pride has the opportunity to rise up, and we know there's lots of them, when we say no to pride, Lord, I will walk humbly, we make space for grace. Humility is a lightning rod to attract the grace of God. Humility is a radical blessing to all who possess it. These are just statements I was just thinking about, and I just wrote them down. I wrote it this way, a radical blessing to all who possess it, because I was thinking about all these blessings that I brought it. It was too much, and I just said, it's a radical blessing to all who possess it. Here's one of the reasons it's a radical blessing. Humility equals liberation. It liberates us. It sets us free. Pride binds up. It binds you up, it binds me up, whether we realize it or not. We are all bound up when we're walking in pride. Pride binds up, humility sets free. And I'm thinking, I probably need to describe that a little bit so you understand why I'm saying it. Why is that? Why is humility set us free? It's because humility has this mindset. Humility says, I am not going to concern myself with me. Why? Because I am trusting me wholly to God. Holy. Lord, I place myself in your hands, and I will simply be about your business. Because this is the promise of the Father. If you will be about my business, I will be about yours. And God would say to us, I can take care of you infinitely times better than you can. So take it. It's a good deal. God says, don't worry about you. I've got you. If you will get you off your mind and be about my business, I will take care of you. Humility. This is humble. This is a humble mindset. A humble person has made the decision, I'm not going to worry about me. this guy, this cop can yell at me, my mom, my dad, my brother, my sister, my coworker, the stranger on the street, they can do me wrong, say wrong, whatever they want to do, and I am not even going to concern myself with me. I'm not even on the board. I'm not up for discussion. There's no, you know what I'm saying? I'm not here. Doesn't matter. Now, I'm not saying that we become rugs and people can, you know, doormats for people to walk on. If someone is being, you know, like dangerously belligerent or whatever, walk away. I mean, don't stand there. Don't be an idiot. You know, leave the situation or whatever. But what we don't need to do is self-preservation in the sense of attacking them to like level the playing field. Leave that to God. What God is asking us to do is, will you just love them? Just be me to them. I need you to be my hands, my heart in the earth. Love them. Be like Christ to them. I will take care of you. It's a promise from the Father. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So a person who's walking in humility doesn't have them on their mind. Do you know what freedom that is? To no longer be worrying about self-reliance, self-preservation, self-protection. It's like, God's got me. I'm good. I'm just free to love now. Pride has to protect self. Pride has to concern itself with its reputation. Pride's got all this work to do to take care of me. It's pure bondage. God is saying, trust me with your life. Paul said it this way, I've been crucified. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who dwells in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. And listen to his mindset, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's what's on his mind. He loved me so much, he gave his life for me. Lord, I'm yours. I no longer live. Do you know you can kick a dead man, you can spit on a dead man, and he'll never argue with you. He'll never fight back. He's dead. And the word tells us that we are to die to self and to live for Christ. Paul got it, and he said, that's why he made that statement. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That's what we've been called to. That is freedom. Oh my Lord, it's freedom. You know, I step in and out of it. When I'm in it, oh, it's pure joy. It's total freedom. You step back in the pride, you can feel the weight of it. It's bondage. Humility is freedom. Praise God. Humility, as a result, brings you into rest, and it brings the blessing of God. Pride will keep you all stressed out and makes your life a mess. Humility equals rest and blessed. Pride equals stress and a mess. Amen. I have another whole beautiful truth I want to tell you about humility, but I'll hold that off until not next week, because next week we get blessed with a beautiful teaching from Mr. DeWitt, and then I'll pick up again the following week. So stay tuned for a great truth about humility. It's awesome. I hope you all were blessed with that. Say with me, I want to make space for grace. We do that by putting pride down, not just shutting our mouth, but literally saying, no, I will have nothing to do with it. Lord, I don't want you resisting me. I want your grace in my life. I will not step into pride. God hates it. It's an abomination to him. It's a decision we make to put it off. And when we do that, we make space for grace. I just want to make space for grace all the time, everywhere I go. Space for grace. Father, we thank you so much for this truth. We thank you for your grace, which magnifies the lives of your children, blesses your children. You desire so much. You know, listen, people, God is not opposed to you being exalted in your life. It says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may do what? Exalt you. That's what he wants to do. He wants to lift you up. He wants to lift you and me up, but he wants to do it when we're in humility, and that it's by His grace. He wants to lift us up by His grace, because then you know and I know I'm being lifted up by God. And therefore, you don't get prideful about it. You're like, man, this is God. I'm not doing this. When God lifts you up, you know it's God. And it's beautiful. He wants to lift us up, but His way. A person who's full of pride, if God was to lift them up, they would do so much damage in the position of power. You know, people say power corrupts. That really is not accurate. Power does not corrupt. All power does is magnifies what was already in the person. It just gives them the opportunity now, because they're in a position of political power, or they've got money. Now they have the opportunity to do what they've always wanted to do, but just did not have the resources. All it does is shows what was already in them. When a person has been humbled before the Lord, now He can lift them up. He'll put them in positions of power, because what's in them will be shown, and He wants that to be shown. That's what's so beautiful. When you get into positions of power, and then people see nothing but goodness and kindness still coming, wow, what a witness, because they don't see that very often. God wants to exalt us, but we have to first make the commitment to humility. Father, thank You for this word. We pray Your sealing on it now by Your Holy Spirit, that it would never leave us. Father, that it would take deep root in us, that we would be rooted and grounded in love, so that we could be used greatly by You, Father. Father, we thank You for the sealing of this word now by Your Spirit. I pray Your blessing on everyone at the sound of my voice, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. If anyone needs prayer for anything, please come up here.